Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today, Blake Weiland joins me and we talk about NAMM. I know you guys have probably heard so much about NAMM. The last thing you want to hear about is NAMM, right? But hear me out here. We're not just going to talk about some of the new stuff that's came out that you probably already know about. We're going to talk about some of the behind the scenes stuff, including the pedal builders party and some of the craziness that came out from it. And you know what? Let's just jump in right now.
And we're live. We're back at it again, chasing the tones.
So I finally, I get to see you like once a year, you know, hug you.
Right. Yep.
You know, give you a pat on the back, kiss on the cheek, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And I got to right. see you, but not for as long as I wanted to.
I agree.
I did see you at the booth. I saw you at the party that Earthquaker and JHS and whoever else it is put on. Mm-hmm. Coming back from NAMM to all the listeners. That's when we all get to see each other. Normally we talk on the phone a lot. Not only me and Blake, but, Jamie from Earthquaker and Blake and Jamie mm-hmm. and I and Josh and from JHS and Jamie. So basically
everybody,
even though we're all competitors, we're still friends. You know, we still talk and hang out like virtually a lot of times. So, when it comes to NAMM, we get to actually hang out in person, so it's all fun. So, anyways, we're at this party, and here comes Blake walking in, you know, showing off his biceps, and I'm like, Blake, where have you been? I've missed you. You can tell my voice is still a little shot. Excuse me, so I may be coughing a little bit during this. I don't have the NAMM thrax yet. Wow!
Don't die on me, please. Yeah.
I don't have the NAMM thrax yet, but I do have the lost my voice thing.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't ever want to say that I've successfully avoided it until, you know, like a week after.
Right, but yeah. So, I'll let you know next month, yeah.
Yeah. So far, I think I'm in the clear. You know, use the boutique hand sanitizer. I was doing good. And I noticed that D'Angelico was trying to outdo you.
I didn't see it. What'd they do?
They put it out in an even bigger bottle of sanitizer.
Did they brand it too?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's great. I wonder if I can find video on that.
I got a bottle I can take a picture of.
Oh, please do. Please send it to me. That's awesome. I mean, that's great. I love that. My thought is, wouldn't it be great if all, like, if everyone started making their own sanitizer every year?
It would be really handy. No pun intended.
The cleanest hands. We would eliminate this NAMM thrax stuff in a hurry.
Yes. Yes.
So, speaking of the bowling alley that we had the party at.
I got a story for you.
I've got a bunch of stories, but only a few I can tell.
Right.
The cool thing I did a full-blown YouTube video with Andy, like an interview.
Yeah, and I seen you over there doing that. I almost like went over and harassed you, but I decided to be industry professional.
Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum came down and just started like getting in the middle of it. He didn't know we mm-hmm. were filming video. So I just like turned the camera around to him and he's like, oh, you're doing a video. That's okay, man. You're in it now. There's no going back. You're here for the next 30 minutes.
Nice. I should have dropped in then.
You should
have.
I didn't
see that. I was like, I'll let him have his Andy time.
Yeah,
because it was Andy's first NAMM.
It was, yeah. Yeah, and I talked to him the first day, actually went back up. Mm. So we're doing, Reverb did like a builder panel, right? Like, you know, a Q&A with like me, JHS, Earthquaker, Robert Keeley, and am I missing anybody?
I didn't see it, so I can't tell you.
I think it might be it. But anyways, if I'm missing you, I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry. So we go over to the Reverb booth to do this little builders panel thing that they filmed. It's already on YouTube, in case you're wondering. And I'm out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, is that? No way. What? That's Andy. He's a lot shorter than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, he's like my height, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, so we went over there. I'm like, you're Andy. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man. I've never, I've, you know, I've, It's like the same thing that I get when people come up to me. Like, I feel like I know you. I've been watching you for 10 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
You know, so it was cool to, you know, just hang out with him and ask him all the questions I've always wanted to know. And, you know, like all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And I'm like, Andy, can we put this on video? And he's like, yeah, sure. Why not? So, so that's why we're doing the thing at the bowling alley. Cause I was asking him questions that you wouldn't typically see.
Well, I don't watch a whole lot of YouTube, but I'll be definitely checking that one out. And
I'm
looking forward to that.
It might make for a good side podcast. I don't know. I guess listeners, shoot me an email. Let me know what you think. The downside is it's a little noisy because the room we're in, but with the mic compressed, like, so whenever we're not talking, you'll hear the background noise, the kind of creep up a little bit because mm-hmm. the compression, but you can still hear it. You can still hear it pretty good. So it's not, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not as good a quality as this is right now, you know, but it's still fun to listen to. So I don't know. Maybe one week that we can't do something, maybe I'll throw it up there.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens. So he's came on my show back in the day.
Yes.
Yep. And he was like, "Oh yeah, we got to do time for an update, you know, since things have changed so much." So,
oh cool.
I was thinking the same thing, but it was nice to not have to bring it up.
No, yeah.
"Yeah, we should do an update." I was like, "Oh good, that's what I was going to ask you." So,
yeah, that'd be fantastic cuz the last the interview on the Tone Mob podcast was great. I loved it. I don't usually listen to Gear podcasts all the way through. And that one I did. So
yeah, it was a really, really good episode, I think. It kind of gave him, he sounds like Andy, but he doesn't talk.
It's different than the video.
He talks like a normal person. He doesn't talk like Andy in the demos. Like, "Hi, I'm Andy." It's just like, chill, you know?
Right. He's like, "Hey guys, so, how's it going?" Yeah. Yeah, super, super great guy. So it was for me, that was cool, like actually meeting and hanging out with Andy Martin mm-hmm. from Pro Guitar Shop, now Reverb.
Right. So that was cool. Yeah. So my bowling alley story is a little bit different.
Okay.
So I was there with my buddy Jess.
Yeah, I saw Jess Porter, yeah. Right?
Yep. Yep.
Hanging out with him a bit. Nice, felt super nice feller.
Of course. My partner in tone crime, if that's a thing. I don't know. We were just, you know, hanging out, talking to everybody, and we're like, "All right, time to go back to our treehouse." We were staying in a treehouse.
Oh, that's right. You guys were staying in a legitimate treehouse, like a Airbnb type thing, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. I've talked about that way more than I probably should have at this point, but it was super cool. Anyway, we go to get our Uber, and on the app, it shows the car rolling up, and it shows, like, okay, there's a car. Oh, it's like a Toyota Corolla or whatever. And it was the same kind of car, same, you know, it matched the picture that I had in the app and everything. And it rolled right up to us. And so we opened the door, started getting in, and a guy come running out of the corner. "Hey, no, 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 that's not your car. That's not your car." And I was like, oh, what? You know, this looks like my car. Yeah. License plate was different. And then, so that guy gets in the car. We hop out. We realize the error of our ways. That guy hops in the car. And then guess who gets in the car after him?
Who's that?
Yoshi from Boss.
Oh, really?
We tried to steal Yoshi's Uber accidentally.
Oops. Oops. Sorry about that.
So for those who don't know, that would be the president of Boss Pedals. Attempted to snipe his Uber out from under him. So that was like, I don't know if it would have been just like anybody else. I don't know if it would have been as funny to me, but the fact that it was him made me laugh really hard. So
not to change the subject from the bowling alley stories, but I had a Lyft fiasco that happened. You mentioned Uber. We got a ride from the convention center. It's like a mile and a half away. It's a $10 ride on Lyft, normally, yeah, somewhere around there. So we get picked up. Guy drops us off like normal. I get out of the car, and I'm like, okay, this is where I tip the guy, right? This is where I, like, tip him and give him the 5 stars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just showed I was still in his car. It showed that I was still in the ride. It said ride in progress. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, that's weird. So I gave it about 5 minutes, and it still said this. Like, I called him because you can contact the driver. I'm like, It still shows, the app still shows I'm in your car and you've obviously dropped me off. How do we fix this? And he said, oh, sometimes there's some latency in the app. It'll fix itself shortly. 3 hours later, I was still in the car.
Oh, no.
Apparently.
Oh, no. And it's just charging you the whole time.
And that's the thing. I'm watching the map, and the guy drives to, like, San Diego or something. And I'm like, what in the world is – what is going on? So, of course, there's no phone number to call Lyft. You can't. There is no tech support phone number. By the way, that's a great thing to do if you have a company. I'm using sarcasm. So I email the company thinking, great, I'm going to have like $1,000 charge on my credit card for a Lyft ride.
Right.
And, you know, explain to them, show them screenshots, all this stuff. And they did fix it. So kudos to them for fixing it within a day. They only charged me 10 bucks. But I don't know if the guy thought, I'm just going to drive around. I'm going to drive to San Diego and not end the ride now. I don't know what the deal was. But it was It was actually, up until that point, I was thinking Lyft is better than Uber.
I was going to say, that's what you get for going off brand, going off the store brand.
I had heard someone, this is my first weekend with Lyft. I'm usually an Uber guy myself. And someone said, yeah, the Lyft is actually better. It's a little cheaper and the cars are nicer. Okay, I'll give it a try. So everything was good up until that point.
Interesting. I'll have to try a Lyft. I've never tried it. I've only used Uber because it's worked like every time.
It works every perfectly. Time. Yeah, that's the thing. It's the interface with Lyft is a little easier, a little less cumbersome. Mm-hmm. And not that Uber's complicated, but it is a little dumbed down. And like if my mom was going to get a ride, I would have her use Lyft just because you can't mess it up. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I give you a big C minus Lyft.
Yeah. C minus.
Yeah.
Well, they passed, so that's all. You and I cared about.
It's
in high school.
Passable. They fixed their problem, but to have a driver do that and not fix the problem immediately, and keep in mind. So as the night was going on, I was continuing to try to call him and text him to be like, "Dude, in the ride."
Mm-hmm.
With no response, wouldn't answer my call. Nothing.
It had to have been some sort of glitch or something because, like it knows where, your phone knows where you're at,
right?
You know, especially when you're using one of those apps, you would think that it would figure out that you're in a bowling alley and not in a car.
One would think so. One would think so. Yeah. So fantastic stuff. Anyways, wonderful. So was that your last bowling alley builder party story?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, you know, nice conversations throughout the night. And I ate like 10 slices of pizza.
I ate zero pizza and listened to tons of horrible karaoke.
I didn't want to get involved in that karaoke. I saw myself out.
No, the place was packed, and to get a beer took like 30 minutes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We drank a beer, and then I talked to Andy, talked to Keely for a little bit, talked to Jamie, you know, just a few people, Josh and everybody, you know, all the builders.
Yeah, of course.
And then we scooted out there.
Yep. Kind of had a similar evening myself. We did get there quite a bit earlier than you because I was super hungry. And I won't.
Yeah, someone said the pizza was fantastic.
It was really good. I was like, I even just the regular old cheese pizza, I was like very surprised. I don't know where they got it from, if the bowling alley cooked it or where it came from, but I was like, wow, this is legit. So
yeah. Oh, actually, I do have a funny story. This is kind of embarrassing, and I'm going to go ahead and admit it, you know, to the world on this podcast. So we started out thinking it was a different bowling alley, the place where it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I
keep
in mind,
did too.
And I'm coming from the convention center, so I've got like camera gear and stuff that I'm holding. So we walk up to the bowling alley. It's this closed event. We walk up like, yeah, we're here for the party, and they said you can't get in. I said we were invited. We have an invitation to get in. And I'm keep in mind, I have this big, gigantic professional camera I'm holding. And I'm like, you got to let us in. I mean, this is our party. And they said this is a high school prom party. And I'm like, Oh.
You're like, huh?
And I'm like, how bad does this look that I'm begging this person to let me in with this big camera? Oh my gosh, I gotta go now.
Yeah, keep in mind that it's you and Jason, both guys in your 40s.
Right.
Lugging camera gear, like, no, we are supposed to be here.
Oh yes. Oh my gosh. They're like, I'm like, oh, this isn't the Earthquaker party then. They're like, no, this is a high school prom party.
And they're like, we're going to call the police now.
You guys need to leave now. So, yeah, so I'm like, I am so sorry. I turned around. And luckily, there was a cab there. I'm like, just drive. Go.
Yeah, we did the same thing. But fortunately, like, when we got there, like, all the high schoolers were arriving. And so it was very obviously like.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, there
like,
was nobody.
Like, everyone was getting there when we walked up. And we're like, I don't think. This is right.
Jim,
and I was like, there's not a bunch of guys that look like us in there, is there? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure we're at the wrong place.
Lucky, I had to make a complete fool of myself.
It was getting pretty, like, I was like, okay, that's not a pedal builder.
There is no way those people build pedals.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I bet they spend a lot of time on Snapchat.
So. Exactly. So, overall, with the NAMM show, was there anything cool that you saw? Or, I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was interesting this year because most everybody, except for when I say that, I'm just talking about the guys in our weird pedal world that you know I'm speaking of mostly. Most of those guys, with the exception of a couple guys, came up from the basement this year.
Yes. Yeah.
I heard some conflicting reports about the basement. I was told that everyone come up because they weren't going to allow amps down there this year. That's what I was told. And I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. But then when I went down there, like, Engel was down there, like, big, you know, metal loud amps. And, yeah. Like, anybody that needed an amp had one and they were playing it. So I obviously that wasn't the case. So maybe you know more, but yeah, it was interesting that everybody in our niche, basically except for two or three companies, moved up in the Hall D.
I was gonna say, I saw Strymon down there.
Yeah, it was like Strymon, Matthews Effects, Death by Audio, and I think that's it. There might have been one or two more.
Right.
But most of our guys, our industry was up top. So that was kind of an interesting change. I anticipate that a lot of guys said they were going to move back down. So we'll see how that works out. But
yeah, I'm not a fan of, I mean, I like being downstairs, but I'm not a fan for business reasons of being downstairs.
Yeah, I could see that. It seems like, you wouldn't get as much. I don't know. Everybody I talked to down there said there was several bigger buyers wandering around downstairs specifically looking for that kind of stuff. So who knows?
Yeah, sometimes there is, but there's. I think it's kind of an afterthought sometimes. Like especially with a buyer that's really busy, they tend to kind of hang out where their bigger brands are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you mm-hmm. happen to be in that area, then you know they'll stop and talk to you, or you can stop them and talk to them. So, excuse me. So I don't, yeah, I mean, downstairs was fun. We did it for a few years, but I really like upstairs better. I like being around the action. Plus,
the
you know,
action.
When my guitar heroes walk by, I can swoon over them easier. They don't, a lot of the guitar heroes don't run downstairs too often.
Yeah, I thought I heard you make a funny noise when I walked by.
That was a cat whistle.
Oh, so you don't know about this, I don't think, because you weren't there when I first went to your booth. You were doing some stuff. I think you were doing that Pedal Builder Summit thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, so I walked up and Amanda was talking to somebody and she said, oh, I'm already feeling it. You know, like I'm like, oh, she was like, oh, man, it's going to be a rough one. And I must have had a stupid look on my face or something, or I was smirking or something. Because before I even get to say anything, she said, and you shut up. And I said, I didn't say anything. I did. I must have had a really, like, mischievous look on my face, like I was about to wisecrack or something. Which I don't think I planned on it. But maybe I was mentally preparing to make a wisecrack remark. I don't know.
Well, I don't know how it was for anyone else. We were so busy. I mean, we are usually busy, but it was completely packed basically the entire time. Sunday was a little more casual, I think, for overall less traffic. But, the first couple of days, I lost a big part of my voice within a few hours just yelling over loud Friedman amplifiers. No, it wasn't that bad. Dave had his own room, so he can crank up his amps in there. But it was fairly loud overall. Mm-hmm. And luckily, they used to put like drums and like in the same section they'd have drums and cymbals and then guitar pedals and violins and like stupid stuff. They finally wised up after I don't know how many years and put like all the guitar things in one area. And then the next hall over, they'd, leave that hall to the drummers.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
unfortunately, I thought that was a good change.
That was a good change. Unfortunately, that's where the best Mexican was. So every day I had to go over and listen to someone beat the crap out of the cymbal, but multiple people beat the crap out of cymbals while I'm trying to eat my Mexican food. Just a suggestion to Nam, if anyone happens to be listening, maybe put the Mexican food closer to the Wampler booth next year.
Well, if you would have just came to the pizza party, you wouldn't have to worry about any of that.
I couldn't, man.
I know.
We had
50 people show up to that thing. It was amazing.
That would have been great, but you scheduled it right in the middle of the day.
It was just how the cookie crumbled. There was something going on every evening, and so that's kind of out of the question. And so it was like, well, I guess we'll do lunch then. So,
well, cool. I'm glad it went over very well then.
It was fun. That was definitely a highlight for me. I'm trying to think gear-wise. See, this is the thing about I wanted to bring this up because you asked me if I see anything cool and I went on a random tangent. I did see some cool stuff. But very few of the things that I personally was interested in, specifically pedal-wise, I already knew about. In some cases it was because I had inside information, but it was already announced before NAMM. And so it was I already knew it was there. I already knew I wanted to go play it. It wasn't I had no idea this was a thing. Like, I already knew about all that stuff.
Right.
And I think anybody who really geeks out on that and follows these companies probably did too. So I wonder, like, some of the things some of the coolest things I seen were things that I knew about but hadn't got to experience in person yet. Mm-hmm. And one highlight for me in particular was actually something that I knew existed for a long time. I just never got to try it in person. Over at the Fryette/Sound City booth,
right?
I was very surprised to how good their power station is. Are you familiar with that unit?
Yes, I am. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. He cranked up this 100-watt Sound City and ran it into that thing, and it was like we were just talking over it, and it sounded amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, in fact, when Travis and Max were here for the past two past episodes, it was one night, but it was two past episodes.
Right.
He has one. So he brought one over. We ran some of the Synergy units into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just magic. Complete, like those two combined together is complete magic.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
If anybody's looking for a power amp / attenuator, I can't think of anything that's better than that. I was just like blown away. I mean, Evan, one of their rep guys, has come on my show and he was talking it up. I'm like, yeah, it sounds pretty cool, but no, seriously. It's I was like, why is this not talked about everywhere for this purpose? I hear a lot attenuators. I've tried a bunch of them and they would do what they're supposed to do, but it ends up sounding kind of anemic most of the time. Not all the time, but quite often. And this was just like full and rich and had all the everything you want. And it was like, oh, we can talk over it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a great idea. So check that out.
Yep.
Yep. I gave some crap to Josh from JHS about his tubes, his 9 tube screamers and one pedal.
Yeah.
I told him I was going to outdo him this
bonsai.
Year. Yeah, the mm-hmm. bonsai. I told him I was going to outdo mm-hmm. him and release one that has 10 settings.
Ooh.
And so then he said he's going to do 11 settings. I was like, oh! Well, I can't do 12.
It's impossible. Can't do 12.
It's impossible. No, but that's a cool idea.
It was a cool idea. Like, I liked it. I'm not like a traditional tube screamer. Like, it's not my sound, but for those that it is, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So
yeah, yeah, it does. I never did really get a chance to play it, but it seemed like a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't get a chance to get away from the booth to see that much gear. So you know, people were asking me like, "What trends are you seeing here at the show?" And all I really saw at the show was my booth and a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I'm noticing a downtrend in mullets this year. I did notice that.
Really?
Not as many mullets as I was accustomed to seeing. A lot more brightly colored hair and a lot less mullets. It was interesting.
Huh.
If you want to know about the trends I noticed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Doesn't know. You know, nothing to do with anything.
One thing that did stand out to me, and this was kind of odd, and I mean, it's completely flattering, don't get me wrong, but I probably got stopped as many times from people saying that they watch the YouTube channel or listen to the podcast as I did that people said they like our pedals. In fact, there were some people that would just walk by and say, "Oh, I watch you on YouTube. I love your stuff." And then, you know, they'd keep going or whatever. I was like, "But what about our pedals?"
Like, hey, you know about those, right? That's a thing that we do all the time.
It's super flattering, you know, to put, because I know there's people that listen to this, but the only time I really get to see them is whenever we do a show somewhere and they come up to me and say, "Hey, I listened to the podcast," you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I always just love actually meeting you, the listeners. So don't hesitate to come up next time. You know?
Yeah. Same here. That's why I was like,
maybe bring a ham sandwich with you or something. You know?
Yeah, go get him his Mexican that he's craving. That's why, yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, I guess maybe it shouldn't be surprising, but it's kind of surprising and, like you say, very flattering. Like I said with the pizza thing, like, there's 50 people here. Like, what? Like, it's just, you know, I mean, I know that, like, obviously people listen or we wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
But it's just kind of amazing to shake everybody's hand and you know, while we're all, you know, and like my wife, she was there last year when we did the pizza thing.
Right.
And I was just like, "Look, see, I'm not the only one. We're all this way.
I am not just talking to myself."
So it's kind of it's humbling that people care enough to do that. I mean, that's really, really amazing. So,
yep.
I'm trying to think of, like, get back to the gear for a little bit. Like I said, nothing really was shocking.
Yeah, from what I can tell, it doesn't. I mean, it seems like just another year of more gear. And I know that sounds bad, but I'm always, so when I go to shows, I'm trying to figure out, like, where things are going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell that by what products are putting out and how people are responding to those products.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, like, not to knock anybody, I'm waiting for the time for me personally, whenever high-end DSP gets cheap enough that we can make a fractal type unit for $200 or whatever, you know?
Right.
So I actually go to a lot of manufacturers of parts there, because there's a lot of, you know, different suppliers of resistors and capacitors and pots and chips and blah, 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 blah. So I, like, you know, I'll go to them and ask them about what's coming out, you know, what's the new stuff? Do you have anything that will, you know, do you have an ARM chip or, you know, a Shark type chip that is cheaper but still does good? You know what I mean? A little more on the tech side, I guess. And there, I don't know, nothing really blew me off my feet, unfortunately. I wish it did. Last year we did find a chip called Dream that, mm-hmm, I thought was pretty fantastic. And so, mm-hmm, it's kind of like, there's a lot of guys that use the spin chips, and I'm sure the builders that listen to this will probably be more valuable to them than, like, the guy playing at church on Sunday. But still, hang with me for a minute.
Yeah.
So spin chips are what a lot of people have done, different effects, whether it's reverb or delay or chorus or all different types of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we moved to, well, we've made several different moves. One of them is to a Dream platform, which allows us to do a lot more complicated type of things. So like with a spin chip, you're limited by how much RAM and the just some different parameters to build a good effect. And the Dream is a cool one. So if you're a builder, check into that. You should like that.
There you go. And that's not, that wasn't new. That was last year, right?
That was last year.
I remember hearing about, yeah.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that, you know, prior to, so. Yep.
And then I got the biggest shock of my life, not electric shock, but physical shock, with a huge announcement right smack dab at the beginning of NAMM.
Which one was that?
Casey Neistat quit Beam.
He quit what?
Beam, his company, his technology company.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. That has nothing to do with NAMM, but okay.
It has nothing to do with NAMM, but it threw me for a complete loop. I was saddened, and I was under some grief. I had some grief at the beginning of NAMM because of that. I'm like, my man.
Why does it matter to you so much? Is he's still going to do his thing, right? That you like
him? Yeah, he is. He's still going to do his thing. I just, I had high hopes for Beam from, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Beam is like, it is a company that Casey Neistat created. I think he sold it to CNN, but still was a part of it. And their whole idea was to like bring news to a younger audience. So, mm-hmm. you know, rather than it being tailored more towards the 40 or 50 or 60 year old person, more tailored towards what I guess people would call quote unquote millennials. So those, some of the stuff was, it was
those
really
millennials.
Good.
You can't trust them.
I know. But, so anyways, yeah, it's kind of a little disappointing. It has nothing to do with gear, but I just want to let you know what's on my heart, you know?
Okay. Well, we can get into that later. I don't know anything about it, so I can't comment.
We'll do a complete analysis of the Beam portfolio if you want, you know.
I'm sure that our listeners will be just riveted by such things.
And
I think we can get away with food talk, but I think we start going into that, we're gonna start losing some people pretty quick.
I know. I gotta check out these D'Angelico sanitizers. Because we had the little bitty ones, I don't know, whether maybe an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches tall. If they're out doing this, we got to up our game. You know, we might
They had like, I think, a 1.5 ounce bottle.
Oh,
and
man.
It, I only know that because I had to see if I could get it through the airport or not. And then it had a little loop on it so you could like clip it on like a carabiner or something.
Oh, they spanked our butts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're 0.5 ounces. 0.5 ounces, little bitty cute little bottles, but no loopy thing to connect your keychain.
Yeah.
Time to up the game. So that's going to be the next product for next NAMM is two ounce Wampler Boutique custom hand sanitizers.
Mm-hmm.
Probably with some wipes. I should probably come out with some Wampler sanitizer wipes. You know.
There you go. Maybe yeah, because it's not just your hands.
Right.
You might need to wipe that phone off.
Yes, exactly. Wipe the phone off. Wipe off the grime from the guitar from the previous night's sweating. You know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So there's good still point. Other areas we're going in here. You know, we're going to permeate these markets outside of guitar pedals, starting with hand sanitizer.
Starting with hand sanitizer, eventually moving on to a news platform for kids.
Exactly.
All right. I like it.
You you want to wrap up this episode about our partial NAMM discussion?
Yeah, our somewhat NAMM related discussion. I guess I should say I didn't make it sound very good. Like it was good, and there was some good stuff that dropped, and you guys probably already know about it. But like one thing I was really excited about was obviously I have a little bit of a little bit of bias for how excited I was about the Chase Bliss Therme. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
In fact, I didn't even get a chance to see Joel, really. I meant to, but...
That should be the biggest letdown of me.
I know, man.
That guy is such a treat.
I love him. He's such a cool guy.
But so I don't know if you I know I've talked about it in my group and stuff, but I don't know if I've told you. So when Joel came on Tone Mob in 2016, I think, he, you know, we talked about his company and we talked about his stuff and what he was up to. And he's like, I had an idea today that I'm going to try to make into a product. And I'm like, oh, tell me what that is. And he's like, no. And he's like, I don't even know if it's going to be possible or not, first of all. And so that product ended up being the Therme. So I've been harassing him. Every time he would tease a new pedal, I would see it and I would message him like, is this it? Is this the one? And he's like, no, it's not it. And so this one he teased just before NAMM and ended up, the Therme is the pedal that he come up with the day, I believe the day that we recorded, he thought of the idea. And so it's like if you didn't see it, it's like an analog delay slash a like octave effect. That doesn't really do it justice, but you'll have to go.
Like an octave on the echoes or an octave over everything?
Go watch the videos.
Spell it for me so I can check it out.
Therme.
Okay, got it.
It's a weird one. It's a weird one.
I'll check it out. I happen to have YouTube pulled up right now, so after we get off here, I will type that into the search bar mechanism, and and look at that.
Yep. So that was a highlight. Speaking of octaves, Fuzzrocious debuted an octave that they called it the Octave John, which I guess is some sort of East Coast slang that I've never heard about. Like John is JAWN.
I don't know anything about that.
But it's like it's not just a pedal, really. It's like something you can add into their custom builds, which I'll have to ask him a little bit more information about it because his voice was gone when I was trying to talk to him. So
understandably.
There was a bunch of stuff, man. That was not it. But, you know, we've already been talking for 30 minutes and I'm guessing anybody that really cares about NAMM releases has already seen whatever it is I thought was interesting. So.
Well, to all the listeners, stay tuned for next week whenever we talk about Pootie Pie.
No, I don't want to talk about him.
All right. Well, maybe next week we can talk about some more gear.
Okay. All right. Later.
See ya. And thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. Really appreciate all of you who listen. If you have any comments or questions, you can just simply email podcast@womblerpedals.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.